chapter 7. We left off on chapter 7. I like what I'm not that I don't like what I talked about previously, but I really like what I'm going to talk about tonight, because I think that I made the statement before, but if we can get a grip as Bible students on how to do this, then I think our Bible experience will be better. I think that we'll see God more, we'll receive more from God. That's the goal anyway. I mean, when we talk about living by the book or studying the book, the whole goal is to know Him better. It's not so much to know. You know, we get so caught up on knowing His Word better, and we get a bunch of scriptures in our belt, we don't know God. So we know what He says, but we don't know Him. There's a difference. We know what He commanded, but we don't know Him. We don't know why He commanded. And I think one of the major reasons that we don't get to an intimate relationship with God like we should, His Word should bring us closer to God. But I think one of the reasons that we don't get to an intimate relationship like we should with God, we never cross those boundaries from just the letter to the rhema word to the live word, is because of how we approach the Word of God. Now, for many, many years, I teach another class called Church Unusual, and, you know, it talks about we don't become unusual until we tap into the supernatural. You know, we've been trying to do the jargons and the growls in our voice and the little cute phrases, and we've been playing attention, we've been denying the power thereof. Well, see, this power, there's no problem. The power thereof is really the power of love. It's simply listen well. The power of love. And so now, we get these scriptures, we read them, we look at them, we memorize them, we know up and down, left and right, but then we end up still not knowing God in His fullness. You know, God is love. Love is God. You know that scripture, right? So God is love. And so we tend to learn these scriptures, and we can quote them up and down, can't we? Can we quote them back and forth, up and down, and we, you know, some of the things here, we quote again the scripture, right? And we got to quote the scripture with God's talking, and we got to debate the word. But do we really know God? This is the whole goal. This is how we live by the book. Because those words, it is the word of, what do we call it? The word of, it's the word of God, but it comes from God, but it's bringing us closer to Him. It's bringing us closer to know who He is. This is the goal. And so our approach sometimes has to change. I always say this in our class, we can't be approaching this word to get a message. You can't approach this word because you want to seem like you know the word of God. You can't even approach this word because you want what you want when you want it. You know, where the faith tells us, confess the word, and you make it manifest. Confess the word. Your confession ain't doing nothing but putting your mind on the right frame with the frame of God. Your confession is not making it come to pass. Your confession is lining you up. And so we get so caught up with the jargon and with the 1, 2, 3, 5. 1, 2, 3, 5 and the things that we're supposed to do that we don't focus on the things that we get to do. We don't focus on what a privilege it is to take His Word and actually get to know God. You think about it, God has actually put this book here and wrote this thing through the centuries and wrote this thing just for us to get to know Him better. You know, we read this chapter talking about you gotta learn how to read. Then we get to the next page, we can go over to page 71. I ended rather abruptly last week because I knew it was going to take a little longer than what I had to really talk about what we talk about. But I like this top caption right here on page 71. And it says, in the next section, it says, read the Bible as a love letter. You see that? Underline it. Read the Bible as a love letter. Read the Bible as a love letter. Don't read the Bible as just a book. Like I said, just a book. Or I'm trying to learn so much. No. Read the Bible as a love letter. You know, I'm trying to believe the Holy Spirit can help me out this. You get whatever you get from a situation, how you approach it. Whatever you get from a message, how you approach the message. You ever approach the message with closed-mindedness? Right? You ever approach somebody speaking that you felt a certain way so your mind was told to tell the truth, right? Right? You ever talk to somebody, certain way you felt about it, and so you came closed-minded, so you didn't get nothing because your mind was closed up, even though that person might have had a word for you. However you approach, in the Bible talks about come boldly to the throne of God. You ever heard that scripture? Come boldly. So watch this. Your approach means everything to what you get out of the thing. Even the way you approach me, How you come at me sideways? I'm not, I ain't trying to hear that. You come at me talking all out the side of your mouth, you're going to get a certain thing from me. Right? I post you a certain way, call you some kind of crazy name, I'll punk you all weapons, don't get your respect. You crawl down to me. I never get to see your business. I never get to see the greatness on the inside of you because of how I approach you. Right? And the same way with this word, read the word of God, read the Bible as a love letter. Listen to this, and we're going to read this scripture. But the only way to really get what God has in that word for you is to approach in love. You have to approach this word in love. You've got to approach this word because you love God, not because you just got something from it. You've got to approach this word because you love God and not because you want to prove to somebody that you got a relationship with him. You've got to approach nothing else but the love. Not for you to learn nothing, not for you to preach nothing, not for you to gain nothing. It's just because I want to be around you and know you better. If we approach this word and we start reading this word that way, you know, many times we get caught up with the rituals of it. And the study of the word of God becomes a burden because it's something that we have to do, right? As many times, you got to read the word, right? Right? You know what I'm saying? You got to read that word. You got to say that word. You got to say that shit. You got to buy it, 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 got to get it, get it, get it, got to 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 means it's a burden. This thing means it's a privilege. And my approach that way, I think it's going to take a little while for us to get there because, you know, and it takes a little while sometimes to get there because we've been taught so much that it's work the word, right? Right, y'all know, y'all heard about work the word. And we talk so much of a calling, you know, spiritual yourself approved unto God. I know it's scripture, right? But we do all these different things, but if you approach the word in a place where, how do you approach somebody that you love? Think about it for a minute. Think about the people in your life that you love. Think about the people in your life that you care for. How do you approach them? You don't approach them. I don't want to see you today. You're here again? No, you don't approach that way. You don't approach them. I don't talk to you today. No, because you love them. And so because you love them, you approach them a certain way. You're looking forward to seeing them. You're looking, what time are you going to get here? What time are you coming? Are you going to be late? All right, we're going to be too late. Right. We're going to get together. I'm going to be all time. Because you love the person. You're in love with them. You got something talking about the reading the love letter. And I read the paragraph and say, early fall in love, I hope so. I fell in love with a woman that became wife of Jean, through correspondence courses. 5 years, I kissed the woman because she finally caught me. It's funny. He said, so guess what I did? When one of her letters would arrive? Did I mumble, oh no, another letter from Dean? That's correct. I just better read it. That's correct. Did I sit down, read the first paragraph, and then say, well, that's correct for the day. I can check that item off my list. Then the next line he says, no way. Anybody ever got a love letter before? Tell the truth, no lie. You get a letter, you got an email. Text messages are all the same thing, you know. Somebody writes something, you ever got a text message, you read it over and over again. You saved it, and you know, right? You don't. I don't want to read it. You read it over and over and over again. Sometimes you meditate on the word, it's the simplest thing ever, but you just look at that one little sentence. I wonder what you meant by that. What did they mean by the little statement? Y'all know it. Y'all been there before, right? What did they mean by the little statement? And we do it over and over again because love was involved. So we say, no. I read every single letter 4 or 5 times. I stand in line waiting to get into the dining room and call and read her letter there. And then I read before I went to bed. I took it under the pillow. So I woke up in the middle of the night. We're here at the band, huh? I woke up in the middle of the night to pull them out and read them all over again. Why? Because I was in love with the person. I was in love with the person. I was in love with the person who wrote them. So love is a motivator. It makes you do a certain thing. It makes you act a certain way. It makes you function in a certain way so that you almost can't get enough of it. because I was in love with the person who wrote it. I put a fork out of his neck and said, that's the way to come to the Word of God. Read it as though it was his love letter to who? Not the way I know, who? To you personally. To you personally, personal responsibility. To you personally, it has to become personal to you. You got to read this word like it's his love letter to you. If ain't nobody, you gotta read it like it ain't nobody else, it's just you talking to you. This is the approach. We cannot approach them, do we? I won't tell them because you have to. You know, one of the great things we ever have, one of the great things we have in life is a choice. One of the great things God ever gave us was a choice. And you can choose to do what you want to do with that choice. And you say, why God could have made us love, and why God didn't make everybody right? Well, nobody wants a robot love. But it becomes robotical. If I just made all y'all the same way, all y'all marked the same, then how do I know it's real unless you choose me? How do I know that you really have love for me unless you've chosen me? So now, when I read this word, I don't, later on in the book, he starts talking about different things, and he gives a lot of strategies on reading the word, and it helps us, you know, read thoughtfully, read purposefully, and we'll touch on those things, and get your time up in the day, and different things, and all that's cool, but it's got to be approached from a love perspective. If you don't approach in love, how do you approach? You can't, God is love, right? But you cannot approach love without love. How do you approach love in something else? Which is why this word may not yield as much as it can because of how we're approaching it, how we're sowing our time into it. So we're not receiving that harvest from that word because we're approaching it just as a duty. And so if you approach it just as a duty, it remains a duty. It never becomes a lie. I made a statement then, I guess it's just hitting me now what I really meant. I thought about this morning, David came to me, and I said, if it ain't love, it ain't a lie. I didn't know what I was talking about this morning. I'm just telling the truth. It sounded good. I put it on Twitter and all that, and it sounded real good. I didn't know what I was talking about until just now, but if it ain't love, it ain't a lie. All that praying, all that reading you're doing, all that studying, getting ready for them messages and everything, if it ain't love, it ain't a lie. If you don't approach this word in love, it will never become a lie to you. So your approach is everything. So I no longer can approach it. You got to adjust yourself now. Now, you got to adjust yourself a little bit. You got to take yourself a look, because we learned so long, and we got to listen. Tell the truth, right? We learned so long, and it's duty. We got to stay safe. No, you get to stay safe. You don't got to stay safe. You get to stay safe. That's a privilege for you to be safe. Stay in your job. See how we look at it? And over the years, it's been good and drilled in our head, and you got to call for the Lord, right? Right, you gotta work for the Savior, right? And you gotta, we've been learning. No, this is a love thing. This is a love thing. You start reading that word like a love letter. Start seeing that God was writing something to you, not because he just wanted you to do something, but because he loved you and knows that if you do that, what'll come from it. And then he tells you, the Lord still like to Jesus, let me preach from the Lord to the death. You know, we don't have a sin problem, so we beat that already. When Jesus got on the cross, he beat it already. You know, it's not a sin problem. It's not that God don't want you to have fun. And you have to go to work. Don't look over there. No, it's not that. But God knows that the wages of sin, he knows it. He knows that what these things lead to. So now it's different approach now. Because I'm looking at what he's telling me to do now. I'm looking at his commandments. Not that I'm doing it, but I'm looking at them out of love because somebody's trying to protect me. My mother used to tell me things when I was younger, and I didn't understand what she was saying. I didn't think she was just trying to stop me from having fun. You just want me to sit inside. You just want me to turn the TV off because you just don't want me to have fun. You don't want me to touch that fire. All I do is the prettiest thing in the world right now, but you don't want me to touch the fire. Fire flickering on the stove, and the child's like, whoo, and the blue's on and all that. I'm ready to touch it. Mama told me no. She trying to hold me back. Why you trying to hold me back, Mama? I'm trying to go out here and play the world. And so one day you won't get brave. You know what I'm saying? Y'all done better than behind you. Stick your hand in, and my hand all burnt up. Now I need that love. Because I wrap my hand and I put that ice on my hand. Now I ran back to my love. Well, it was only because she was trying to protect me. If I understood, I was too young to understand at the time. I found out something today. I was reading the scripture. We were praying in the staff. We were just a minute, but I read two different instances that love and growing up were working together. And I found that you can't even grow up if you ain't got love going. Y'all get out this stuff about relationships and stuff, all right? And all this, I'm talking about the love of God right now. Right? I'm talking about the unadulterated love of God first and foremost before anything. All right? You good? And I thought, see, I put the, let me say, he said, we may grow up in love. We'll read this in a minute. I can't even grow up. I can't even mature. I can't even mature in the things of God until I'm mature in love. Until I really realize how to love, I can't grow up. I'll still be a child, talk to and fro about whatever wind of doctrine. It begins with this love. Read this as a love letter. Approach this word with love with the intent. Love is the only intent. I want to approach this word for you. Read the word in the morning. Look, Lord. Read the word in the morning, Lord. I'm just here because I love you. I'm reading this because that's your word, that's you, and I'm just trying to get to know you better. I ain't asking for a thing this morning. See what we waste our time asking all the questions. We ask all the questions and we make all these statements and we make all these declarations and we do all this stuff. And then you want we have been confessing a long time, haven't we? Tell the truth. Come here, tell the truth. We've been confessing, we've been declaring. We've been proclaiming. Come on, what's another word we're using? We've been doing the revelation. Come on, what's another word we're using? We've been doing it all, and you're only missing that thing, man. Because of our approach. It begins with love. It does not work up there. It begins in love. The approach has to be in that. You have to look at that like, God, I just want you. The scripture says, what's the person say command? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. With everything you've got, love him. That's the perfect great commandment. And the second one is to love thy neighbor as you love thyself. And it says, on this, hang all the law. And it's going to be everything you do, every message you preach, every revelation you're going to get is going to hang on loving the Lord your God. Just loving him with everything you got. So now this is the perfect great commandment, and this is the way I should be approaching. Just for love. What if he ain't make no promise? Think about this for a minute. What if Luke took away for a year and that was it? What if Isaiah 119 says, just be willing and obedient? That was it. Ain't no good in the land. Maybe God knows that we need to learn sometimes and he helps us out. But what if he said, we got to get to that point. You got to get to that point in ministry. You got to get to that point on the top. You can minister right now. Just I'm a God. You got to get to that point to where if you don't do it, I'm still going to be here. Our society is come to a I want. No, just be here. It's just down to that. Just be here. If you don't do nothing else, God, you're bad enough. If you don't say another word to me, you're bad enough. If you don't make another demonstration, you've demonstrated enough for me in my life. It's enough for me to love you. The fact that I'm here is enough for me to love you. I don't even see no fire out the sky. The fact that I woke up this morning is enough for me to love you. See, we got to break down to the bad things. We search for all these different things, and we miss number one, the first and great commandment. We miss number one, the first and great commandment. We miss number one, the first, and that's it. The first and great commandment is to love the Lord your God with everything. And so this is the approach. And when we approach God, in who he is, which is love, right? When we approach him in who he is, we get to know who he is. Otherwise, we just... The scriptures are talking about, I'm going to read it. The scriptures are talking about, for I know it's called not to be a part. But when that which is perfect is come, I'm not still so perfect. You know what you mean? You can talk about that, but you can flip the page over one thing. We'll flip it. Let's go back. I'm getting ahead of myself. The last paragraph says, It's talking about Mortimer Adler's book first came out. It's called How to Read a Love Letter. And it says this young man has just received his first love letter. He may have read it 3 or 4 times, but he is just beginning to read it as accurately as he would like. It requires several dictionaries and a good deal of close work with a few experts in etymology and philology, whatever all that is. However, he will do all right without it. He will ponder over this exact state of meaning of every word, every comma. He has heard the letter, Dear John. What, he asks himself, is the exact significance of those words? Did she refrain from saying dearie because she was bashful? Would my dear have sounded too formal? Jesus, maybe she would have said dear so-and-so to anybody. A worried frown would now appear on his face, but it disappeared soon as he realized, as he really gets to thinking about the first sentence, he certainly wouldn't have written that to anybody. If he works his way through the love letter, one moment presence blissfully on the cloud, the next moment huddled miserably behind an 8-ball. It had started 100 questions in his mind. He could quote it by heart. In fact, he will to himself for weeks to come. Y'all see how intricate? I don't even know if this was written, first of all, with the adjective way to describe it, but you see how intricate he was with the letter? He said he would read it, he would quote it by heart, going from here and here, trying to figure out what's being said. What do you mean by that? All right, now I'm not thinking about quoting his word, and when Jesus starts talking, I want to wait until God says something, and you say, well, what does he mean by that? What do you mean by that? What are you saying? Are you talking to me? Can I do that? Is that for me? Is that personal for everybody, or was that just for me? You start quoting it, you start looking at that word that way. You start approaching that word that way, and you see it from another light. I guarantee you will. I guarantee you. I give you my word you will. Dump the bell. I say it all over. I'm going to say it forever, the rest of my life. Dump the bell. Dump that old way you study. That old way you study is just, you sleepy all the time, and the old way you study, you feel like, well, y'all know it, don't you? Don't play me right now. That old way you study is like, or that old way you study, time up in the morning, you read your proverb, what's today's day? The ninth, so you read the Proverbs 9 today. You know, if you read 9, you got 31 days, and 31 days in the month, 31 chapters of Proverbs. So you read your 9th chapter, and now you got your word in for the day. You ain't got no word in for the day. The word is the day. Y'all see me? There's no problem with remembering the word. There's no problem with memorizing the scripture. Memorize the scripture, and when you are away from your Bible, you still can meditate on the word. Put me in remembrance, huh? This is why we take the scripture to win. I ain't got no chance to get my Bible. I can't pull up my Bible out. I can still be loving God throughout my day. I just be talking to him about it. And what happens is God, my God, what happens is God starts to talk to you. And he starts to show you some things that you haven't seen before. If you just take a little time and give him some attention. If you just take a little time to approach him in love for nothing else but just that. I don't want nothing, Lord. I don't want nothing from you. I didn't come ask you for nothing yet. You know what? I would like for you to protect me and my family today. I would like for you to do that, but you know what? I'll just ask you anyway. Don't say, don't explain me. I will trust him. So you don't really know. You can tell. When you go read the scripture, you can tell how much Job loved God. Because don't explain, I will trust you. You're close to nothing. Just, you gotta love God and love. And a lot of times, Father said, help me cannot sing because the love of God is set above my heart. By who? The Holy Ghost. While you're praying, and the Holy Ghost is important. That's why the Holy Ghost is needed, because he said that love abroad in your heart. Why? Because he knows that you can't really get to the will of God, or you can't really get to the mind of God, or you can't really open up that word unless you approach with love in your heart. This is where it's at. Can't be approached for all this other stuff. Drop all this stuff tonight. Make it up in your mind to drop all other reasons why you read the word. Right now, real quick. Think about it. I know you're going to say love right now because it's fresh on your mind. We're talking about it. But right now, think about all the reasons you can read the word. Think about all the reasons you were told or you were taught to read the word. You know, we were taught a lot of different things, right? Praise God, me too. And you think about all different reasons. And I'm not saying all of them are bad. Yeah. You know, you need to study the word. I get all that stuff. But the first and great commandment. It's the first and great commandment. And in everything, all the law hangs on that.
Supposed to be. You can go with it, but the first, the foundation got to be there. That got to be the main reason you're there. And so you read it like a love letter. You approach His word like a love letter. You approach His word in love. You approach His word not for a ritual, but just because of love. I'm saying it over and over again. Not because you got to, because you get to. Not because I'm trying to do this to make sure I stay in line with God. No, just love Him. You know, love, the Bible talks about love covers a multitude of sins. Let me tell you this, love comes along. That means if you really approach God in love, you won't have to worry about getting nowhere else. You won't have to worry about falling into nothing else. We're so scared about falling in, but we're focusing on falling in, and what you focus on is sins in your life. So you focus so much on not falling in, and all your mind here is falling in, when it should be love. My approach.
It's on the next on this paragraph before we read Romans, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if people read books with anything like the same concentration, we'd be a race of mental giants. Y'all see that? Underlined in the next line is important. It says, likewise, if people read scripture with anything like the same concentration, we would be a race of spiritual giants. Because we approach God in love. Now this is to me, and this is just me. You can feel how you want to feel about it, whatever, but this little page and a half is the most important page and a half in this book. Thank God for everything else. Thank God for reading thoughtfully. Thank God for terms and observation and all those things. Thank God for that. That helps, all right? I get it. Don't negate that. It all helps. Observe, you know, pay attention. I'm saying literary and all that stuff. I get all that. But it all got to be built on love. It all got to be on top of that foundation of love that I'm approaching. Just because I love God, I'm reading this scripture because I want to know Him better. And I don't want to know Him better so I can tell somebody that I know Him better. I just want to know Him. What if you don't ever get to preach? Just think about this. What if I told you you're never going to preach? You're never going to preach. Look at me. You're not going to ever preach. You're not going to ever get the mic. What if I mean, come on. You're thinking about this. No, what if I told you, would you say in that? Would you slack off? Oh, sure, I ain't got to be that deep. That's it. A lot of people in church are like that. See, when we come to church, the man of God and whoever's ministers, they should be at a high level of intimacy and love with God. Should be. And they should be pulling us towards a close relationship with Him. Should be pulling us towards God. Towards getting closer to God. That should be the goal. But a lot of people think, he said this in his book, but a lot of people think, I don't have to get that close to God. I don't have to say the word that much. I'm not a reverend. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an apostle. I'm not any of those things. So I don't have to say as much. No. When it comes down to this love of God, this word of God, and loving God, God don't say love me, thou reverence. God says love me. God don't say love me if you got a calling. God says love me. So now when we get down to this love, we ain't got control. I don't see that though. God sees you and your heart. You don't think God has been calling you reverence and says, No. God sees you. He sees your heart and wants to know if He has it. That's what He's looking for. So now, if we would approach this way, the most important part of the book to me, when you approach this way, will make you treat it differently. And I'm saying this stuff over and over again because I want you tomorrow when you approach the word, I want you to approach it differently. Tonight, when it gets to the point to where I'm just, anybody ever read a good love story before? I've seen one of them little love movies, right? Right? You ever seen a good one before? It likes it, didn't you? It makes you feel good at the end, right? You want to cry all the different stuff, right? That might make you feel right. We should be getting to the point to when we see. This is the greatest love story ever. I thought about that. I put something on, man. I used to die with it. I realized something about Jesus that I put something on, and it really touched my heart. Somebody was saying stuff, and I got to go back and hear it again.
But I realized that Jesus believed in our hearts before we believed in our hearts. Jesus believed in the capacity of our hearts. Well, he put there already in the beginning. But he believed in the capacity of our hearts to come back to him. He believed in that. So that's why he gave his life, because he believed in it. Before you could ever quote or believe, you know, confess your mouth and believe in your heart, you know what we say? Before you could ever believe in your heart, he believed in your heart first. We only love God because he... Greatest love story ever. Don't let it touch you. What kind of love is it a man to give his life? He'll give his life. He'll give his life even not guaranteed that you're going to choose him. He's not even guaranteed that you're going to choose to be with him. He's not even guaranteed that you're going to choose his life, but he believes in you. Only one story bigger than that. Now, we approach the scripture like that, man. If we approach it, not from duty or from this other stuff, but we approach it like that. I approach it like that, saying, that's the greatest love story ever. But tell me more about this love. How much do you love me, God? Tell me more about it. All right, now get to the point. You know, the love ain't always peace and cream all the time. It don't always feel good. My mom didn't tell me I'm working you because I love you. I didn't understand. I didn't get it. Well, how are you talking to me with this part if you love me? But I understand now, all right? I understand now. I'm going to do my kids and say, hey, wait, praise the Lord. I didn't understand. Well, because you don't love me. You're whooping me because you love this person. It ain't about feeling good all the time. But if you approach the love, you understand. Love brings the clearest understanding. The approach must be that. The approach must be in love. You could go to the next page and you see what it says. Four verses of 1 Corinthians 13. I won't read them all. But the first one, I think it's the King James Version, says, though I speak with the tongues of men of angels and have not charity or love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. That means I can do all this stuff and get all spiritual, but if ain't no love in there. Here we go. Do I have the gift of talking? You said all this. You're deep. And all knowledge. Do I have all this faith? How much faith? All of it. So I can remove mountains. Y'all know we be quoting it, right? Remove mountains. And have not love. What it says? What's those last three words? Oh, does that mean you could be the finished minister school? Lay hands on a few people? Huh? Quote a couple things, but you ain't got no love. But so I'm a good feet to put and boy, get my body to be burned and have my love and profiteth me nothing. Love something wrong with its kind. Love envieth not. Love wanting not itself. It's not puffed up. Do not behave itself as failure. Seeketh not her own. Seeketh not her own. That's correct. Seek it not her own. Y'all have read this scripture before. Don't go down for a quick second. Don't be reading like you're trying to define love. Stop defining love. You can't define it. It's undefinable. Can you define God? It does God have a definition. You can't do it. He's too big for that. Stop trying to define love. You can't do it. It's impossible. And this is just y'all love definition. No, it's bigger than that. Not to hurt yourself in sin. Seek it not her own. It's not easy to provoke. Take it no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity. But rejoice in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. If I'm failing somewhere, love ain't there. And if you find a failure, you can find somewhere where love is lacking. So what is there right there? What is there? What does that mean? What does that mean? Come on. What does never mean? Like, not ever? It won't happen. So love never fails. If I'm failing to get revelation, maybe I didn't approach that in love. If I'm failing to get enlightened, maybe I didn't approach in love. Even in your life, if a certain area is failing. Even with, you know, I know even with witnessing the people, sometimes we got a family member who want to win over and everything like that. But some beat across the head with this word. Quoting all the scriptures you know. They know the scriptures too. Women know the scriptures too. If I'm gonna tell me scriptures, you know, where's love? Love with. There is no way that somebody can experience true, unadulterated love from God. It's love and reject. The problem has become that the love tries to get through because God wants to work through us. It is God's working in you, right? It's the will to do the good pleasure. And he's trying to work through you and in you to get it done. But we start throwing all our religious ideas and what we think and what we know, and we start quoting, we start diluting the power. Because the power is love. We start diluting. No, move out the way. Start approaching in love, and you bring it in love. Because love can't fail. It'll never fail. Love never fails. Whether they be popular, they'll fail. You pull your scriptures, they'll fail on their own. Whether they be strong, they'll fail. Whether they be knowledge, it's a bad thing. But we know in part, listen to me. Listen to this. So we know in part. But when it says in part, that means you don't know in whole, do you? But that means you don't know in full, do you? But you know in part. And it says, and we prophesy in part. We don't prophesy in full. But when that which is perfect is come, talking about love, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. So that means your wholeness is in love. The wholeness of the revelation that you need is in love, is approaching love. It ain't nowhere else. It ain't in how many books you read. You can read a million books, but if you're not approaching love, it doesn't matter. When I was a child, watch this. Growing up, you ready? I got tired. When I was a child, I was like, why is this? Why are you guys talking about something right here, God? Like, why did you put it there? I know God ain't crazy, so I know you put it there for a reason. It was something he was trying to line up. It was like, why all of a sudden you start talking about prophecy and then you start saying, you start talking about children. Now, I was a child. When I was a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. And what does that have to do with anything? So now we just look glass darkly. You don't see good. But then things for peace. Now I know it, but then I said, no, even as I am also known. And now about a faith, hope, charity, and faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And so I see that I can't grow up if I don't approach in love. Ephesians 4, real quick, and I'll go there in a couple minutes. Ephesians 4, and I was reading this this morning, I said, Oh, Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 14, it starts talking about the gifts and everything. It says, we're 14, but we hear four, we know no children talk to or fro, and try about with every wind of doctrine, and try to mend it, come across the whereby they lie to deceit. That's it. But we know no children talk to or fro with every wind of doctrine. You know, children talk to or fro with every wind of doctrine. That we don't be childless no more, because it says, verse 15, but doing well. And what? May grow up into him in all things which is ahead, even Christ. So speaking the truth in love may grow up into him. In love may grow up into him. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. Everybody want to be mature in Christ. That's where we're at, in love. But you see, but when the whole body finished going to get in contact with that, with every joint of power, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make an increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. That's where you grow up at. You want to grow up in the spirit? You want to grow up in the things of God? You got to do it through love. You can't do it no other way. It's not through your much reading. It's not through your much quoting. It's not through your defining the different words and that. That's cool. No, I have no problem with that. But your beginning, love must be the motivator. It must be the initiator. You cannot approach that. Anytime you approach that word with anything else but love, don't expect much. God knows how he built this. God knows who he is. God knows how he wrote this in love. And so if he knows he wrote it in love, he knows that you have to approach it in love in order to really get what he's saying. I think it's the whole span of God and who he is and everything he's trying to do and trying to get to. We'll never get it all. The Bible says always a creature will never come to the full mind. You're never going to get it all. We're always going to learn it. Nobody gets there, okay? I'm saying nobody gets there. But I think it's bigger than what we expect. It's bigger than what we've been given it credit for. And this whole thing that God is trying to show us, and this whole move that God is trying to show us, is all built in love. It's not built in a ritual. It's not built in the many scriptures you know. It's not built in how much notes you got. It's not built in how many pages you got highlighted. It's all built in the fact that I've approached just because I love you and nothing else. Break it down. You need to break down. You need to break down. This man, another time, you're talking about dismantling. When you start realizing what you need to do, you start got dismantle. We got some ways we got to dismantle. We got some ways that we've been approaching that we've got to dismantle. We got to break those down and get back to the basics. Go back to your first love. To the point to where I ain't know about all this other stuff. I didn't know about ministry and all this stuff. I just knew God. I just knew I wanted to love him because he loved me enough to give his son for me. And he loved me enough to think of me in my wretched and sometimes disobedient ways. He thought enough for me. God knew every time I was enough for him, but he thought enough for me. So we can't approach that way. We can't approach with all these other ways, all this other stuff we're trying to do. Now, break it down. Break it down. Get all that stuff off of your own ways on the day. Down and get back to the basics. Well, I'm just there because I love you. I love you to say a word. If I don't do it the way this next to it, I just love you. And that's all. Look, just love, nothing else. You hear me? No. Just not faith over it. Just love, nothing else. She loved me for everything else. You realize if you get the love right first, everything else will come. Remember that, right? If you get the first thing right, everything else will be fine. Everything else will be hanging on there. You have stability. But you got to get that right first. Just love and nothing else. You approach the word, just love and nothing else. I'm not going trying to look up the scripture to try to see what I want to learn or what I want to know. Just love and nothing else. Then love starts maneuvering you through and starts taking you back to what love do. Love, you start quoting God's love. The love of God set upon your heart by the Holy Ghost, praying and the Holy Ghost, listen. That love will start bringing you to the things that you need when you need it. Love is what's needed when it's needed. I say it over and over again. Love is what's needed, whatever's needed when it's needed. And so the Holy Ghost, it'll start bringing you. You're not reading just aimlessly. You're not reading stuff. You should be reading stuff that just delivers you to what you need. It's all about your approach. Right, you ain't learned nothing else about this class. Right, we're going to be talking about some other stuff. If you don't learn nothing else about this class, understand you cannot approach for nothing else but the fact that you love God. And when you approach in that manner, God starts opening up everything to you. He ain't going to hold nothing back from you. You ain't got to dream about nothing because he's going to be all in your head already. Just approach, just love nothing else.